Hey, it's Paris Hilton. On April 30th, my podcast Trapped in Treatment returns for a second season. And this season, we're taking on the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment starting April 30th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Pridecast with Jonathan Bennett
and James Vaughn
on iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, welcome to a new episode of Pridecast. As you know, of course, I am your host, Jonathan Bennett, and I'm joined by my husband, James Vaughn.
Hello, that's James. All the accolades?
That's all you get today, babe.
Wait a minute. It's usually silver boats.
I know, but daddy's tired, okay? I've had a long day. I've been working, filming. We're here in Utah, and I just, you know, I got to save my voice. I had to save my precious, precious voice since it's so soothing, my voice, to many people.
That's usually what I think of.
Yeah,
when people think really Jonathan Bennett's soothing voice. I think.
Yeah,
peaceful. Calm.
Yeah, soothing, peaceful, calm. We're here in Park City, Utah.
We are. My baby's filming a TV show up here,
but we can't tell what show it is yet. But I can't wait to tell everyone what it is.
Obviously, I was like, "You're going to Park City for the month. I'm coming because our little Brad, our dog, has never seen snow, so we got to bring him up and let him see snow for the first time.
And he did. And we just posted it on our Instagram. You can go look. He flipped out because Brad loves the sand at the beach. He goes crazy for it. But if you've never taken a golden doodle to see snow for the first time, it is the most adorable thing you'll ever watch if they like it. And Brad loved it. He freaked out. He went running in circles. He started eating all of it. And it's like one of those Instagram videos you see of a dog being adorable. We finally have one.
Yeah, he's like, what do you call it, dolphining through the snow,
yeah.
Like going all the way down and back up and down and back up. It was really fun. And also, I wanted to come because, well, I just wanted to come because I wanted to come, right?
Oh,
speaking
there's
of dogs,
yeah.
You can hear Brad because he's
the neighbor's dog
outside he
yeah.
used to play with. I wanted to come up here because Jonathan skis all the time. And I've never skied in my life. I've never had that luxury of getting to go have the ski experience. And so, I came here so I could take a
we
ski
haven't
lesson.
Tried it yet.
We this haven't is, tried it yet, though, because I'm scared.
It's going to be a complete disaster. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, if y'all see me water ski or paddleboard or anything
awful.
Else that involves
he broke his leg. He broke his leg paddleboarding. Not even skiing, surfing, paddleboarding. He broke his leg.
Anything that extends my giant feet any longer than they already are seems to throw me off. So I don't know how the skiing is going to go. That's why I was going to go take a class by myself, but then
you
I was
have
like,
to.
What if I need my husband here? Like,
there isn't a world where I would ever go on your first ski lesson with you because that's like a recipe for like marital disaster. You just don't do that because like, no matter what, and this isn't because of you, this is because even my dad said when he was teaching us to ski, he's like, no, I don't even want to be around you when you're learning. I want you to go off with the instructor because that's what they do. And if you have family or friends around you, they're trying to like give you tips and give you things and you don't think you're going to be frustrated, but I guarantee you when you're sitting there and you're falling and falling and falling and the instructor's trying to help you. And
you know how much faith he has in me when you're falling and falling.
Everybody falls their first time. Like you're going to fall a bunch. It's just how it is. But then like to have a family or friend, like telling you, like tips and things like, no, keep your feet separated, or no, you got to bend your knees. Eventually that will wear on you and you'll do one of the things that I did when you first learned to ski, which is like, I'm trying, I'm doing my best, shut up. Like, that's what happens. It's just like a general rule.
I can't imagine I would ever do that, Miles.
Yes, of course you would. You would be so frustrated because I'd be giving you like all the my pointers, but literally the instructor's paid to like teach you how to do it.
Yeah, it's a married life bliss.
It's true. This isn't a marriage thing. This is like anyone going to ski for the first time. You don't want to be around.
But we don't get the BTS videos if you don't go the first time, Jonathan. You need to like spy.
Wait, Ray, see, now you're on to some, Raymond, because that is
you need to spy. And then also, Jonathan, that's like premium content if the ski pants are tight.
Oh, honey, by the way, that's a huge thing I want to talk about. It must be a slow gay news week, because
what was that?
This was the I was like, are you serious? So I put a joke up because James was on a red carpet about something
in the world's tightest pants.
But I just put a video up because Jackie Cox was there and sent me the video as a joke of a zoom in of James's tight pants. And I put it on my Instagram reel or whatever as a joke, being like, congrats on something we're not talking about. And literally it's almost hit 1 million views. And then every gay rag in the world picked it up and was like, here's a breaking story. Jonathan shows off his husband's butt.
Like, what is
what?
What
is there nothing more in the world we can talk about, gay people?
There's definitely people like, doing things for the community that deserve more of a spotlight than pants that are two sizes too
small. So the big gay spotlight this week is not going to be on James's butt because there's more important things to talk about. But alas, here we are. And if you'd like to go look at it, it's still on my Instagram. And I would like to get the views because it is spiking my algorithm right now. Yeah. So please click away.
Oh my gosh.
But we have a great show today. You know who we have? We have a gay icon.
A gay icon we've wanted to have on for a long time.
We've wanted this guest forever. And he's our neighbor. And we're going to be chatting with Ross Matthews when we come back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Please welcome to Pridecast a TV legend, a gay icon, the king of Palm Springs. I mean, if we did his accolades, we could go on for days, but you know him, you love him. He is the one and only Ross Matthews.
Thank you so much. I feel weird. I'm clapping for myself. Well, I'm so happy to talk to you, and you two look so gorgeous together, and I'm so happy for you. I'm just so thrilled to see you, and look at life.
Look at us. I mean, I think we have such a fun connection. I mean, we're going to get into Drag Race, obviously, because we want to talk about season 15 because it just started. But yeah, we have to talk about, like, we got to bring it. Let's bring it way back to, like, our neighbor, Ross, our fellow Palm Springsian. I mean, we moved there and we love it. How long have you lived there?
I've had a house there for, I think, 14 years, different houses. But I remember the first time, you know, the first person that ever brought me to Palm Springs was Donald Trump. And it was in, we weren't vacationing together, but they did ask me to be a judge for Miss Teen USA back in like 2003. And I pulled in and I was like, well, this is the mothership. This is home. I will spend my days here. And I just vowed then and there. And so first chance I got, I, you know, bought a house there, and that's my home. When I'm not here in New York with Drew Barrymore, I'm there in Palm Springs. It's paradise.
It really is. We had the same thing happen. We moved there. You know, we got a place there during, right at the start of COVID, and we pulled in and we're like, this is home, because we were sitting at, and tell me if you guys experienced this. You just got married, but we'll get into that. But
yeah,
you're at like the chicken ranch or one of the restaurants and
Billy Reed's,
any of these. And you have like so many gay business owners and gay couples that own all these different businesses. I said to James, when we first went to Chicken Ranch and met Mike and his husband, it was like, this is what it feels like for a straight couple in every other city, small town in the country. Like,
well,
you
you, that's very astute, because it's like, it's what straight people feel like everywhere, you know, where they are the norm, and they're comfortable, and not to get too heavy, but I mean, they're comfortable enough to like hold their partner's hand across the table at breakfast. Mm-hmm. That is something that, as people, you know, queer people, we don't take for granted for 2 seconds, because it's always in the back of our mind. But in this gay oasis of Palm Springs, mm-hmm. Ranch Mirage, Palm Desert, just there, we have sort of claimed, everybody is welcome, but our community has sort of claimed it. Like, this is kind of ours. We do not tolerate anything other than celebration and love. And it really is so stunning. It also happens to be a place where, like, it's always gorgeous. Every hour is happy hour. Every person who's there, they've chosen to be there, whether they've chosen to live there or they're on vacation. So everyone's happy. Come visit us. I'm on the Chamber of Commerce too. Come spend your money.
And you have a star. You have a star on Palm Street, on Indian Canyon Boulevard.
I do. Palm Boulevard. Canyon Boulevard.
That is that. Like, I saw a TikTok of you cleaning your star the other day, and it was.
Because I'm shameless, dear. I'm shameless. So if no one else is bringing it up, I'll go ahead and do it for you. Yes, I have one right there, and I keep it nice and clean.
If I had a star on Palm Springs Boulevard or on Palm Canyon Boulevard, I would clean it daily. I would go light little candles just for like good luck. Like I'd be like, when you go to like a church and they have like all the candles burning with like the long lighters, I would just like put them and put a little charge box, like dollar.
We should just start a trend. If anybody's going to be walking on Palm Canyon, just drop a candle right near my star.
Drop a candle at Ross Matthews. What's it in front of?
Well, I'm right near Carol Channing and Walt Disney. I have great, it's near Taquila, the restaurant in front of what used to be Azul's, swinging chairs. Uh-huh.
The swinging chairs. Okay, that's the thing, because, you know, I'm an old gay now, so I remember going there, and Azul's was so fun because they had the swinging chairs, and you'd sit there, and I brought James, and I'm like, this place closed, and then you see the new businesses popping up, and as much as you love the new businesses and all the things that it's bringing to the city, you're like, no, I want Azul's, I want the chairs. Did you feel that?
I know, Yeah, but we just have to embrace anything that comes into town. Anyone that opens a business, it's such a risk, you know, especially gay-owned businesses. We support them. And I love that people are listening to this. Like, we're, you know, we're just like a couple of old biddies talking about how much we love where we live. But
we everybody's
welcome. If you've been to Palm Springs, you get it. If you haven't, you must. It's absolute paradise. Pack your caftan, honey. You're coming to Palm Springs.
Yeah, I didn't get it. The first time I went, actually, like, I'd gone for a gig, like, 10 years prior. But then I went with Jonathan when we happened to go visit a friend. And that's what spawned the idea of like, maybe we should get a place here, because we went and within like 5 minutes of being there, I was like, oh, I get the magic of this place.
Yeah,
I get special this is for us as queer people to have this. And it's what did the ladies say that we met? They called it Gayberry.
Yeah, it's Gayberry. I love it.
It's hilarious. Not Mayberry, Gayberry. Absolutely. I'm going to steal that.
But do you know what I love even more than Palm Springs? Drag Race season 15. That just started. We have to talk about it. We have
so much. You know, I can't believe that I'm able to keep the secrets I am. They should not trust me with these. I mean, you know, we tape a few months ago, and the fact that I haven't just spilled everything is incredible. I love this season. You know, I love every season. I fall in love with all the queens. And I'm always shocked by how the producers are able to find these people whose stories haven't been told, you know, and tell them in a unique way. The way they cast the show and the way they unpeel all these queens so we get to fall in love with them, you know, it's really, it's beautiful the way they do it. And are you loving it?
I'm absolutely loving it. I have my top three favorites already.
Who?
But,
can you tell me? No, yes, he set up with Carson last week, and I don't know that he's exactly right. I feel like
absolutely right. But you can't make a face, Ross. So when I say this, you can't make a face. But you just look at me. But no, because we're going to film this. So, okay.
Hold on, look.
I'm going to tell you my favorites.
I'm covering my
face. Okay, yes. Thank you.
With branded cards, by the way, promoting the Drew Barrymore.
The best part about Ross is I've never met someone more shameless than me, and Ross is more shameless than me. So I bow down to Ross.
Well,
I bow down to you.
Now, listen, I'm in my dressing room here at the Drew Barrymore show. We just got picked up for season 4, by the way, shameless.
I know.
But I am holding up cards that we're going to. So I'm covering my face. Go.
Okay, here we go. Ready? My top 3/4 are Anitra. No response. Okay. Malaysia Baby Doll.
Fox.
And Selena Estides. But I also really like the twins. And the twins were a sleeper cell for episode 1.
I have to tell you, I love them all. I'm not making a face to whether you know if they go far, they go in the finale, or they're out next week. I'm not telling you anything. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. What I love is a season when people shock the hell out of you. When you have an idea of who the final four is going to be, and then people come out of the woodwork. And that the competition does it to them. They either, you know, crumble, or they really find themselves in this process, because, you know, you've seen it up close. It is hardcore. It is difficult. It's not for sissies.
The one you left out though that I have to say, and but your face is not covered, Sasha Colby. Like, the minute I heard that name, I said,
he's covering his face again.
Okay, all right.
I love them all, and we're just beginning to see them, to really know them, to fall in love. Mm-hmm. They're going to blow you away. And of course, when I say it's not for sissies, I'm kidding. You know, it is absolutely for sissies, but it is tough, this show. It really challenges these queens to the max.
And what's different this year is that there's 16.
Yeah, which means there's more competition. There's another week, you know, every week is so vital. If you don't show what you've got, if we don't see it on that runway, you know, you can't stick around. You get such a limited amount of time to showcase, whether it's in the mini, the maxi, or that runway. That's it. You know, you can give hilarious commentary back in the OTF, the interviews. You can be amazing, but we don't see that. There are times I watched the show back and I go, God, I wish they would, like Banji, perfect example. We had no idea based on that first week of that runway on her season that she was such a superstar, because all we saw, all we could judge was based on what was on the runway and the challenge. And so I love that we're getting an extra week for them to unveil themselves.
Can we talk about the really cool and smart thing you're doing, speaking of shameless, with what you wear on the show?
Yes.
But Jonathan was talking about it. Baby, go ahead.
Here's the thing, Ross, before you, I want you to just plug it and explain it, because it's brilliant. And I just, before you talk about your new clothing line, which is phenomenal, I want to say, as someone that hustles their butt off in this industry, which is the hardest industry, you hustle even more. And that, I think people don't see the hustle or understand the work it takes to have Drag Race, Barrymore, clothing line, all the things you're doing, even your Instagram videos that you put up of cooking squash for New Year's. Like, no one sees the work that goes into that. And I don't want to say stupid little video, but just like a video that you're like, oh, it's an Instagram video, let's just do it. It's exhausting. There's so much work. So looking at everything you're doing, I'm exhausted for you. So I just want to applaud you before you tell us about it, of the work it takes to get where you are. And I will always bow down to you because I think it is fantastic. So wait, tell us about this new clothing line and what's so special about it.
Well, I just want to thank you for saying that, because I feel like I really won the golden ticket and I'm here, and it is a lot of work, but we were so passionate about it. I'm so thrilled to be here. I dreamt about being here, and it really is a joy. So you want to talk about the clothing line? I'll tell you this.
Wait, but before we talk about the clothing line, let's take a quick break.
Oh,
and we'll come back and tell you all about the new clothing line from Ross Matthews. We'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So tell us about the clothing line, Ross.
So here's the deal. You know, I'm so grateful I get to be on Drag Race. I mean, I've been on for a lot of seasons, you know, a lot. And one of the hardest things about it is trying to find stuff to wear as you sit next to RuPaul. Can we talk, right? And they don't make that. A lot of like clothes for men aren't that great. You know, like it's hard to find something fabulous.
Ross, I remember the panic Jonathan went through the one time he got to sit next to RuPaul,
a guest judge
for the outfits. I can't imagine what you go through for all the episodes next
I had RuPaul. Hives. I was at Stitch in Las Vegas and I had hives because I was like, it's not enough.
You get it. So I want to deliver, you know, I want to make Ru proud. And so as I was looking, I met this designer named Ross Mayer from Toronto. I was performing in Toronto and someone was wearing one of his pieces. pieces. I was like, who, what, how, what? And so last season I partnered with him and we designed everything I wore. And then this season I was like, you know what, let's design it and let's sell it. Because I think what better platform in the world? You know, if you can't find something to wear, make it. And if you make something great, share it. And so that's what we've done. We tried to keep the price point as low as possible. I know it's not like H&M prices. I'm sorry about that. But we have limited supply. But it's beautiful. It's such quality. The brand is called Ross by Ross, Ross X Ross, because it's me and Ross Mayer. And I'm really proud of it because it is genderless. It is sizeless. You know, we go from small to 3XL. We want everyone to be included. It's all wearable. You could tuck it into a high-waisted pant. You could tuck the front into torn jeans. We have, it's just beautiful, really beautiful stuff. So everything I wear that night will be for sale on the website and you can get your hands on it.
Ooh, that's smart.
The idea that you had to do this is so, like, I want to throw this water bottle through the computer at you and be like, you brilliant bastard. It is so good. Because I love it when someone has a brilliant idea and makes it happen. Because, like, I wanted to be in the call when you pitched this to whoever it was you had to pitch about this line of, like, I wanted to be on that conference call where you're like, so here's the thing. Yeah. I'm going to wear it on the show and wait for it. Yeah. We're going to sell it that night online. It's like when RuPaul walked into like Logo or VH1 the first time, I was like, it's America's Next Top Model, but drag queens. Yes. And they're all just like, yep, write the check. Well, yep, there it is.
I have to say, I was really proud of it. And I'm mostly proud that it worked. And I'll tell you the best part about it is that the first day, you know, that first episode, I was wearing my line, Ross by Ross. It was the pink and black.
Yeah, paper. It was a pink and black. It's mm-hmm. a pink and black striped kind of like leopard print, or not leopard print, zebra print-ish.
A little zebra, geometric. It's
almost
like a bolero sleeve. It's beautiful. And so anyway, Rue comes out, does the hello to the thing, walks right up to me and says, who are you wearing? And I was like, Rue, I'm wearing myself. And the Rue was like, she's touching it. She goes, I've got to get something. So we made Rue a piece just for Rue. And Rue wore it on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. So Rue has put her stamp on our clothing line. It's amazing.
You can't ask for anything more. It's you've won.
Oh my gosh.
Ross Matthews is winning 2023.
It's got to feel good. Already. It says, who are you wearing? And it's me.
Like, yeah, I've never had
you've won the design challenge, Ross.
I kind of did, right? I'm really proud of us. I love that. I wasn't even going to talk about that. I don't want to plug it like crazy, but I really am proud.
I do.
You know, it's an example, though, I think, of just sort of thinking a little bigger. You know, if you can't find something to, and this apply this to your life, whoever's listening. If you can't find something to wear, make it. You know, and if whatever that is, just create something new.
And if people like it, share it. That was such a smart, that's so smart. That's something we did with Outbound, our travel company. So
we
found when we did, we do LGBT cruises and we would go on some cruises and we found that, hey, this space isn't like what we're really looking for, but we like the idea of a cruise, but I don't feel like this is for us. So we looked and there wasn't a space for what we wanted. So we created it. And then if you create it and share it, people will come, and we've had such a overwhelming support by the community going on all the cruises. And we literally just made our marketing tagline because we're like, how do we explain it without saying it? And then finally we say, well, we just say it. We're not a party cruise. That's our tagline. And so why not just make it blatant? And so we've had so much success with it. So I am excited to see your line just shine. I know it's going to be so, 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 so good. And
Ross, I got to say, hang on. We were just talking about how we should hype up the gay-owned businesses in Palm Springs that pop up. So, of course, we should hype up your gay-owned clothing line. Absolutely.
Hello.
Eat those words,
Ross
baby.
Matthews, go check it out. What's the website? How do they find it? I want to say it.
Oh,
how
God.
Do we find it?
I just posted on my social. Also, the company's called the Official Mayor. So I think officialmayor.com is the website, something like that.
But just go to Ross's Instagram. It's all there.
I should know that. And then I also, just a quick thing too, I also have a capsule collection with Kafco caftans, and we're coming out at the end of January with our fourth one. And it's inspired by my husband and our love story was in Puerto Vallarta. And we actually got married there, and Drew Barrymore was a flower girl. And so the yellow in the print is inspired by Drew's dress. And we're going to reveal that on the 30th on the Drew Barrymore show.
That's right. Use those platforms, baby. Use those opportunities. And so I was just circling back because I was just having this conversation with the great Broadway songstress, Tony Award nominee, L. Morgan Lee. We were talking about this just earlier. And so she said to me, if you see the void, you're supposed to be a part of filling it. And I thought that was so profound and so right. And I feel like that's what you're doing here. Like, and the fact that you are doing this clothing line that's for all sizes and genderless, like, Ross, that's beautiful. Like, yes, it's great as a businessman, but as a human, it's beautiful.
Thank you. Ross, but it's the platform. You know, it's the platform. What you, when you get here, and it's over 20 years in the business, you were there too, right? You get here. Now is, I feel, the time where you can have a little fun. I think we're so busy trying to have the next job and defining ourselves with the next gig and thing. You know, we get to a point after 20 years or so, you know, you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. And so now I can have a little fun with it and use all, as Rook says, all the crayons in the crayon box.
We have so much more to talk about with Ross when we come back. And we're back. Ross, the Drew Barrymore Show, renewed. New season. Hyped are you for this?
You know, I found out today that we got a season 4 for sure. I had heard rumblings, but I was in a Starbucks and it just came on my phone. And right when the lady was saying, Ross, because I order ahead, and she said, obviously. Ross. And I was like, yes. And then my phone, you know, bleeped and the text was there. And it feels so good, you know, because I've been here since the beginning, pretty much. I came for a day and then never left. Drew and I just hit it off. And now I get to co-host with her for the past three seasons. And to do it again is the dream. It's like what I dreamt as a little kid when I would watch Regis and Kathy Lee. And I tell my mom, like, I want to do that. I'm going to do that one day. And now I get to do it with her. And she, just by the way, everyone knows who she is. Right. But she is the best, better than you could ever imagine, better in person, kind, determined, driven, but welcoming. Everybody wins with her. There's no competition there. It's just about raising people up. And it's the dream gig.
And I just got a shout out too, because you talk about being a little kid and seeing Regis and Kathy Lee and wanting to be that. Now think about the little gay kid that's getting to watch you and dream of doing it and realizing that they can because they see you doing it. That's pretty dang cool, Ross.
And I want to say this too. Not only that, Ross, I think one of my first agents, when I said, hey, I want to do like a morning show or something like that, told them that. And they said, well, you can't because you're gay. And like, they would have never put a gay guy on that because they want America to relate to it. That was like my first agent back in the day said that. So not even little kids.
Grown. I'm glad you fired that wrong. Agent. Yeah, I'm glad you fired them. I got told that too. I remember executives, as I would pitch shows in the early days, they'd be like, oh, it's a great idea, but you're too gay for us, like that. I'm like, I wish I would have recorded. I'd own that network now. But I'll tell you this, you know, it's something that's driven me since my first segment way back in 2001 on The Tonight Show, when they told me you're going to go out and film something. I remember thinking like in this crazy moment of clarity, okay, oh my God, you're going to be the thing you didn't have. You know, because I grew up in a little farm town. I didn't know what a gay grown-up person was. I'd never seen one. I didn't, right? Not in my town, not on television. I remember thinking, can I grow up? You know, how crazy is that? And so now, yes, people will see and have seen for many years. It's like on RuPaul's Drag Race now. We have queens who are 20 who've been watching the show since they were 10. You know, think about that. What tools in their tool belt they're able to use at this young age that we sort of had to kind of figure out. We were just figuring out that we were worthy in our 20s. And now these kids are like, of course I'm worthy. Of course I deserve this. I've been seeing it my whole life. Now get out of my way. It's amazing.
And this is Pridecast. So we want to ask you, because it means something different to everyone, what does pride mean to you?
That's a deep question. Pride means
different. Or just some of the things it means.
Well, I mean, I can elaborate a little bit. So pride in a public way means being an example that I didn't have. Pride in a personal way means like being the man that I can be. And then pride as an artist means not leaving anything on the table.
Ooh, I like that.
Do you remember your first pride you went to?
Yeah, I was, it was in Seattle. I think I was 17. And I remember being, I think I wore khakis. And I was like, why am I wearing a pleated khaki? I was like, what the hell? You know, I'd never seen that many gay people. I didn't know what.
Right.
And then about 3 weeks later, and this is how fast gay happened, right? So June was Seattle Pride. I think July was Vancouver Pride. And I lived right in between them. So I wore pleated khakis to Seattle. And by Vancouver, 3 weeks later, I had pleather pants. And we glittered our entire faces and we burnt a cork to do eyeliner everywhere. And I spiked my hair. You understand? So once you're in, it's like a vortex. You are just in.
Absolutely.
Let me ask this, because it's like, I'm hearing you talk about, you said this is how queer gay happened. You talk about 3 weeks later being so loud and proud visually. You, to me, have always been somebody, because I remember seeing you on the Tonight Show. And I remember my parents watching you and being amused by you and enjoying you and me going, they do like a gay person. Oh, maybe, yeah. I can be out. It's okay. Where do you get that from? Where was that strength when you were so young to just have that pride in who you were to be yourself? Where'd that come from? Because I didn't have that.
Yeah, you know, I think I was, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but I think I was just lazy. I think that like there were two options. There was either be all in, or hate myself. And I just didn't have time or the energy to put into that. I just thought, you know what, the easiest thing I could do is just be me, just be all in. And it was actually a producer who said on Leno, and I was so lucky to start in TV with the best of the best. I mean, that's crazy that, you know, my education was with these people at the highest level. And they said to me, you know, if you can get a job being yourself, you'll be employed for the rest of your life. And I thought, I can do that. And so part of it, even though I was on a show that was so mainstream and there were not gay people, if there were gay people, they were not as gay as me on television. I got a lot of flack for it, but I just was all in on me, you know? And the other thing is I also, it's not like I could pass, you know what I mean? This is what it is. This is the butches I get. So it was just easier to just be all in. And I, you know, say that very in a simplistic way, but okay, what if somebody who is sort of in that, having that internal struggle, just was all in on who they really were? What would happen?
Yeah. Mm. And speaking of you being you and talking about how you just, you can't help but be yourself, right? Yeah. One of the funniest things I've ever seen you do, and I think I told this to you before, but I want to bring it up again because it's on broadcast now. Do you know what I'm about to say?
No, remind me. Okay.
It was, you were at a carpet for E, I think.
Okay.
And there were tigers.
Oh my God.
And you were hosting the red carpet and you're interviewing like the tiger wrangler guy.
I think it was me and like Kristen Cavallari or something.
Yes,
like that.
Or yeah. It wasn't Kaylee Cuoco, right?
No, I don't think it was, but it was
someone, but you said, yeah, it was a blonde girl. And you turned, the tiger wrangler said, whatever you do, don't make any loud or high-pitched noises around the tiger. And without missing a beat, you turned directly to the camera and whispered into your microphone, do they know who they hired for this job? And I fell out of my damn chair and wanted to throw my chair through the TV because it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard you say. And I know that is so stupid and so simple, but to this day, I think it's my funniest thing I've ever heard you do, because it was just a classic lesson in improvisational on-the-spot thinking of delivering a one-liner, and you're the best at it.
Thank you. You know, I don't remember that. I remember being there. I don't remember saying that. That tiger actually got loose and they had like a panic moment. I remember that. And I actually shoved whoever I was with in front of me, cause I'm not going down like that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you you know, that's about live TV, and you either have that thing or you don't, you know? And for some reason, my brain is one, I cannot return an Amazon package. I don't know how to do it. I can't, they say, bring it to a Whole Foods. What? I don't understand, but I can do live TV. If they cut to me, I'll have a line, I'll have a thing. It's just, you know, you're good at what you're good at. But thank you for telling me that.
It's amazing. You're good at so many things, Ross, but there's something that I'm going to say, I don't think you've been that great at.
Hit me.
Let's talk about your New Year's resolution to do a new TikTok every day.
Have you? I went and looked. You haven't. I don't get the TikTok either, Ross. I feel seen when I saw that video that you posted. I don't get it either. But I went and checked. You haven't done one every day. And that's okay, because you know what? It's exhausting.
I don't understand it. I understand that this is where the conversation's happening on the TikTok, but the trends and the buttons are too confusing too. I'll just say this. So the vow, I said, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to do a month long every day in January, a TikTok. And I did it till January 2nd. And then I stopped. I think I've missed it. I've missed the boat.
Same. And do you find that when you post, like, I don't get any, unless I'm posting his butt, I don't get any traction on my posts. Like, no, it just doesn't happen. And I don't know why.
Should I post your butt? I mean,
you should post James's butt. It'll blow up. This was what I posted, a joke. You know how, like, you post like your husband, like as a joke. And Jackie Cox sent me a video of James's butt when he was doing a red carpet in really tight pants for his show. And instead of posting a picture of my husband, I just put the like 3-second video Jackie Cox sent of his butt and said, mm-hmm. congrats, babe, on your new show. Uh-huh. Being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. 1 million views. Like, and then all the gay rags picked it up being like, Jonathan put his husband's butt on the internet. And I'm like, this is what we have to talk about. Oh, I don't know.
Maybe I should post my husband's butt. I'll post yes. like anybody's butt. Send me. I'll post it.
I'll send them to you. Fantastic.
That'll get the TikTok either, because I posted. So I had a TikTok go. I guess it's viral because it's up to almost like 30 million views now.
People stop him in the airport now. Wait, no, Russ. Two different cities. Girls come up to him and go, "Oh, hi!" And I thought they wanted a picture with me, of course, because, you know, obviously super famous. And I was like, "Oh, hi, do you want a picture?" And like, can we have it with him? He's TikTok famous. We saw his TikTok.
You're TikTok famous. That's my new goal, is to be TikTok famous.
Oh, so Ross, the TikTok that blew up was a Snapchat that I had made to my best friend. Sometimes I sing like little silly songs. I sing them to the dog. I sing them to myself. I sing them to my husband. And so we were in Paris and people kept stopping in for pictures, which is a wonderful problem to have. But I was making a joke to my best friend, baby. And I was like, this is what it's like to go on vacation when your husband was in Mean Girls. And like, it was just like showing how like there's nothing, like I'm just by myself, like in Paris, and Jonathan's doing meet and greets, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, stupid. And like, so my friend was like, I'll just post it on TikTok and see what happens. It was kind of like funny. And I was like, sure. 25.5 million views. Wow. Thanks, Tara.
What?
And that's all it was. And it blew up on the TikTok. And like, I don't really use the TikTok, but I went from like 3 followers to like 60 some thousand followers now. And I don't know what to post next, Ross. Like, what do I do next?
Post Jonathan's butt. That's what I'll.
Yes. Yeah. There we go.
That'll do it.
I'm not an expert in TikTok, but what I've learned is that butts really do well.
They do.
And I just learned that today with you guys.
And this is why everyone listens to Pridecast, because there's such a good takeaway.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about something we like to do on Pridecast, where we talk about what happened this week in gay history. Cue the music.
Hey.
Before we move forward and as we grow as a community, we always need to remember where we came from and take a look back at what happened this week in gay history. James, tell them what happened. Wait, can I do this one? Because I'm so obsessed with it.
I was about to say, this feels like a gay history you should do. Okay. So would you like to take it? Special guest host for this week's and LGBTQ plus history is Jonathan Bennett. Here you go, baby.
Special
guest. What happens this week in LGBTQ plus history?
On January 26th, 1996, Ross, are you ready for it?
January 26th, 1996. Hold on. Where was I? I was in high school. I was a junior. Rent debuted
off-Broadway in the New York Theater Workshop for a 6-week run. The creator, Jonathan Larson, obviously we all know him. He died just before the premiere. Rent is the first time I understood what the LGBTQ plus community was, you know, and yes. Back then we didn't even have a plus. It was just LGBTQ community. It was the first time that a little kid in Ohio could like hear these words and talk about, you know, there's the moment when they say faggots, lesbians, dykes, crossdressers too. And that was the first time I had to like look up what that some of those were. And I was like, oh, there's other people like me. So Rent debuted 1996 this week.
Wow. And so let's just hold a candle right now for all the straight girls who had to sing Rent in the car with their gay best friends. I can list a few names right now who sang "Will You Light My Candle with
Crystal,
Me."
Crystal, Brooke, and Emily were mine. Mm-hmm. Who are yours?
Becky, Bethy, Bevan, Jennifer, Alexa. I mean, there's so many of them. And so thank you to you straight girls who sang with us. Homosexual.
I got to sing them. Yes, I got to sing them in show choir. I feel lucky.
Oh, oh my wow. God. You had music.
I was in show choir 525,600 minutes. Like, I was living that fantasy.
How we had
then.
To
like,
sing just that?
That was amazing. Yes. That, like, I got to have the night of realized how special it was till I realized poor Crystal was stuck in the car with you with your lovely voice singing it.
Oh, and I mean, my best friend, the two of us, Ross, were just the motliest of crews. Bless, she, my best friend, Crystal, growing up, she was my original fag hag, and she. What I mean, she had spinal bifida, she was in a wheelchair. I was like the gay theater queen, pushing around the hallways, twirling around. So we were just a complete show in ourselves. So
oh my God.
I actually love seeing you two together. Can I gay history something really fast?
Yes.
I don't have the date or the month or anything, but at some point in gay history, I think it was like 10 years ago, I was hosting a little show in Vegas called The Chippendales. Ross Matthews came to see the show, and Ross, I don't even know if you remember this because you encountered so many things, but you and I had a probably 45 second dialogue that was very inspiring to me, and I don't know if I ever got to afterwards say thank you, because out here I was hosting the show on the Strip, and I was like, you know what, I really want to get into TV stuff like you do. I really would love to be doing the red carpets and stuff like you do. And you were so inspiring and encouraging, and the fact that it was another queer person that's already saying it, it's not lost on me that I did get to the point where, like, I was hosting the big red carpets, the Billboard Awards, the American Music Awards, all that stuff. And like, I would like to think that a little bit of me getting there was that little inspiration you gave me by just being so kind when I told you that I wanted to do that. Aww. So thank you, Ross. That
well,
really
you're welcome.
Has always stuck with me.
I remember that conversation, and I thought about it every time I turn on the TV and seeing you on something doing exactly what you said you wanted to do. I always think, good for him. Look, he did it. He did it. So thank you for saying that.
Well, it's because people like you inspire. So thank you.
And that James was shining his big gay spotlight on Ross Matthews. And we're going to do our next segment right now, which is our big gay spotlight, where each week we shine our big gay spotlight on someone that is doing the most good for the LGBTQ plus community, whether they're famous or not, people that you should know here on Pridecast. So Ross Matthews was James. James, who do you have this week?
Oh, well, yeah, I get to do another one because, you know, my big gay spotlight. My gay is so big, it deserves multiple spotlights. So have y'all heard about Eric Cervini yet? He's a historian and a queer author that actually turned a school bus into a library of queer literature. Him and his partner, Adam, actually had to raise funds to do this. They raised $100,000 so far to actually create the bus. And their plan is to have this bus travel all across the U.S. and host pop-up book festivals in places like parking lots with tables and chairs and signs and information about local organizations and resources for queer people, in addition to books. And it's books like, you know, we've heard about All Boys Aren't Blue by George M. Johnson, Fun Home, A Family Tragic Comic by Alison Bechtel, and a lot of the books that need to get out there that queer people need to have. And they actually have a website for it, rainbowbus.org. And I mentioned the website because, like I said, they raised the money to create this bus, but now they want to get this bus out there and get this bus doing the good that it can do. And they're actually saying the proceeds of book sales from the bus are going to go towards funding the bus and to other queer authors. So rainbowbookbus.org is something you can check out that you guys can go contribute to this, because how cool is that? And think about that when we were kids. If this little queer bus showed up with resources for you and books for you to make you feel seen, like, wow, what a wonderful time we're living in.
Amazing. And I hope it's the first of many, many, many buses all over the country. Rainbowbookbus.org. I'm going to be going. I wonder if we can contribute, what we can do to help. But if at the very least, we could just spread the word.
You're so absolutely good, Ross. Look at you. Just spit that website right back at me. I adore you. You're
this is why he's on Drew Barrymore, has his own clothing line, RuPaul's. There's nothing he can't do. We love him. Ross, you are a national gay treasure. I want to just say it. We adore you, everyone. Check out Ross's new clothing line, Ross by Ross. We have him on the new season of Drag Race 15 out now. And congratulations on your new renewed season for the Drew Barrymore show.
And congratulations on your husband.
Yes, on your marriage.
You too. I feel like we got married right around the same time. It just felt like, as like those pictures were coming out, it just felt like such a time of love and hope, and coming out of such a time of despair. And I know we're all, you know, in our first year of marriage, and isn't it just amazing?
It is.
I love it.
What's one thing you learned about each other in this first year?
Oh, really? Really? We're doing that right now? Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know what I learned about marriage that I didn't expect is that, like, I feel now so unafraid to fail because, like, I'm like, someone's got my back, you know, I can take risks creatively in business and things because, okay, worst thing that happens is it totally falls apart. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still going to love me and you're still going to hold me up and you're still going to protect me. It just feels amazing. And I did not anticipate that.
I feel the exact same way. And I think I've had so much success this past 2 years because of our engagement and our marriage. I knew, like, no matter what, like, it's that classic quote where people say, but what if I fail? And it's like, my dear, but what if you fly? And so I wasn't afraid to fail because I knew if no matter what happened, James would be there. So I really identify with that. Congratulations on your marriage. Congratulations on everything you're doing. We're just huge fans. Go to Ross's Instagram so you can check out everything. It's Hello Ross.
Yeah. And thank you. And thank you for making this podcast. I think it's so great, hilarious, insightful, and important to have. Thank you guys. I hope to see you soon. We got to do a happy hour in Palm Springs.
Yes. I mean, we're newlyweds. We live in the same city. We'll make it happen.
Are we the same person? Has anyone ever seen us in the same room?
I feel like
if I'm married to Ross Matthews,
am I the host of the Drew Barrymore?
Yeah,
what? check out Jonathan's new clothing line on RuPaul's. There you go. Okay.
Ross, run while you can.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, it's Paris Hilton. On April 30th, my podcast, Trapped in Treatment, returns for a second season. And this season, we're taking on the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment starting April 30th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.